WFXX. Once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It is time for a wonderful, wild Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Neither Scott Giese nor yours truly, Jeff Byers, got elected to a doggone seat. Not in charge of anything. They barely let us have our seats in the studio this morning.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Good morning and happy day after the elections. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right, we'll mention a little bit about this. We actually have guests today, Mr. Ironhead. Who are our guests today?
Well, we have none other than Mel Curtis. With the SNAP program issues and the holidays coming up, there is a significant need. I'll let Mel tell you more about it, but Mel does the backpack programs and amazing work on helping to feed the kiddos in particular here in Center County, and they have a real need right now. So this is a plea, really, to those of you in the audience who can help. Now, listen, you need to take care of yourself, right? This is if you have the ability to help others. There is a very urgent need at the moment, and we'll let Mel tell you more about that. But Mel Curtis will join us right around 8:45 this morning over the phone line. And then in studio at 9 o'clock this morning, we will have Mike the Mailman. Mike Herr joins us in studio. He was on with us yesterday with the Goon and Ironhead show, as well as making the rounds. His new book, appropriately titled Pushing the Envelope, is out and will be available at the book signings that he will be doing this weekend at the student bookstore. But we'll talk with the legendary Mike the Mailman coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, and should be a fun conversation, always is with Mike.
All right, very cool. So as far as election, well, let me hold that thought. Let's start with weather. Now, hopefully, if you're not paying attention to weather today, apparently we need to pay attention to weather. No, it's not going to rain. It's not going to, well, it might rain a little bit.
It might.
It's not going to snow. That's next week.
It better not. No!
That's next week.
You hush up over there. I don't want to hear any more.
But at some point, somebody's going to turn the wind tunnel on. All right. It's supposed to get significantly windy today, tonight, into tomorrow morning. Wind gusts maybe over 50 mile an hour. That's significant. A wind advisory has already been issued. Not right now, but for essentially after lunch tonight into tomorrow morning. And the idea is if you have stuff outside at your house that gets blown around, you might want to bring it in.
Or just wave goodbye.
Or just wave goodbye.
See ya!
As it goes blowing away.
So long, stuff.
Also, along with that, there is, I guess you would call it a wildfire advisory, because it's been pretty dry, and it's been breezy and windy, so there's very dry conditions out there. That's going to be today into tonight, at least. Very simple rule here, folks. Don't burn anything today. Just don't do it. Okay, come on. 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, if that occurs, significant breeze pretty much all day once this thing kicks into gear. No burning today. Just don't do it. All right. Fire personnel don't need to do something because somebody out there was stupid. No burning today. No burning tomorrow. Just no burning. All right. Save it till the snow comes.
Save it to save it to next week or something like that. All right. So please, let's take it easy out there.
All right. First and foremost, this is the most important thing. All right. Day after, all done. Yard signs. Let's get them gone. Let's get them out of the ground, okay? Let's. If you put
yards, have a big yard signing burning later.
Don't do that. No, bad. Just pull them out of the ground and either, God forbid, throw them away. I don't know. Put them in your basement or some. Just get them out of the ground. When they're done, it's over, it's finished. The yes signs, the no signs, the this person, that person, get rid of all of them.
All of my maybe signs.
And let
be pulled out of the ground.
You've got to get rid of those, okay?
Maybe did not win the day.
Because after today, they are officially an eyesore. All right? So if you put yard signs out either in your own yard or you went and plunked them down in somebody else's yard or some sense. Get them out. Come on. Let's make this a community effort. Let's beautify the community.
There you go.
Get rid of the yard signs. All right. Every year, weeks and months go by, and I'm kind of driving along someplace. I look over, and there's this dilapidated yard sign for somebody running for something. And I'm thinking, what the heck is that still doing here? Get the yard signs out. Big, small, I don't care what. Get them out.
While we're at it, it might be time to take off the Dukakis bumper stickers at this point. I mean, come on.
No, come on. You're making that up. Because after all that time, they would have, like, decomposed or something. Folks, we don't want decomposed yard signs. Just get rid of them, okay? Now, we'll mention a few things here quick. We have guests today. We actually have guests tomorrow. We have an open line show on Friday. And so maybe we'll dive deeper, because I've got plenty of thoughts about this election yesterday. We'll dive deeper more into this on Friday.
Yeah.
We'll let the dust settle a little bit. All right. All the talking heads, blah, blah, blah. Last night, if you were watching national stuff on TV, blah, 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 blah. There'll be more blah, 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 blahs today, and so on. We'll go more in depth on Friday, all right, when we have some more time. Let me give some kudos. The county government elections website page, near as I can tell, worked great last night, checking things out as things were coming in and getting posted, and you could read results. Great. I mean, the old days from like 30 years ago, when yours truly was doing a different kind of show, I would have been doing election coverage that night, and it would have gone till midnight, and we would have had people at the courthouse, and they would have been calling in. That is so old news. I mean, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm just fine with that. So kudos to the folks that run that elections page. As near as I can tell, again, I thought they did a great job. All right, just getting the results out and so on. We've mentioned this for weeks. Who's going to win the big picture thing? Who's going to win the elections? It's going to be the folks that get out the vote. And clearly, Democrats got out the vote yesterday. And so no surprise, especially all these national ones and so on, they all went left. That should not be really a big surprise. I mean, really, it shouldn't be. Another Democrat governor of New Jersey, what a surprise. Virginia seems to go kind of back and forth. Well, they have a Democrat now, a governor of Virginia. Okay, not a surprise. Mamdani won the New York City election. Folks, really, we've been expecting this for weeks. No surprise. All right, none at all. There was only one election that surprised me last night, and it wasn't here. All right, everything around here pretty much went as I thought it probably would. No surprises around here. The only one that surprised me last night was this attorney general race in Virginia. The Democrat challenger beat the Republican incumbent. Now, if you somehow don't follow news, the Democrat challenger is a guy named Jay Jones. And it came out.
Seems like a lovely fellow.
A while back, it came out that 3 years ago, he sent some texts to a friend, and we've got the texts. They were pretty well publicized, where he was essentially fantasizing about the death of a Republican state lawmaker and his family. And when that came out, my thought was, okay, this guy's done. And somehow he won last night in the state of Virginia. And I just, to the folk, the good folks of the state of Virginia, my only thought is, really, really, that guy, the attorney general, the top law enforcement officer of the state, and what he texted out to a friend 3 years ago, wishing deaths on a Republican legislator and his family, and that guy still won last night. I'm frankly stunned. Now, maybe in some regards I'm not. All right? The folks that I refer to as political animals, yeah, they showed up yesterday. Some of you are political animals. Sorry, I don't mean to be harsh, but on the other hand, maybe I do. All you care about is winning elections and partisanship and ideology. That's all that counts for you. And so this guy should not have won yesterday. This is the only major surprise I saw. When I saw those texts and heard the story, and the guy didn't deny it, I just thought, okay, buddy, you're toast. And somehow he won? Whew. Okay. Yeah. Can we blame that one on Donald Trump? Because that's what a lot of folks, and it's a legitimate question. Some of these, not national elections, but the ones that got national publicity, how much of this is tied to President Donald Trump? Well, the new governor of New Jersey kept pointing at him. The new governor of Virginia kept pointing at him. I don't know, this jerk with his texts probably was pointing at him. The new mayor of New York City was not endorsed by Trump, and so he was kind of pointing at him. And so you're going to see a lot of, either last night or especially today, you're going to see a lot of pundits, a lot of op-eds essentially saying, yep, this is all Donald Trump's doing. Well, maybe that's true. All right? Because, again, Trump just, he can't keep his nose out of much of anything. He has to stick his nose into so many things, and it may have been a real boomerang effect. I've already read, oh boy, two or three pieces to that regard, that this was a boomerang effect. Even though, I mean, what's the governor of what's the governor of New Jersey have to do with the president of the United States? Not much. Governor of Virginia, okay, maybe because of where D.C. is located and the Virginia suburbs, maybe a little bit there. Some of these other ones, not so much. But, hey, what does it take to get out the vote? Democrats hit the nerve yesterday, and they did it. Now, this Mamdani guy doesn't take over New York City till January 1st. And of course, oh my gosh, he's a socialist. He's Muslim. He's a Muslim socialist. All these labels. He's a populist. There's a word to remember. Populist. Donald Trump last year, and still this year, I think, was a populist. Populists are, hey, look what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you that. That's a populist. And so this Mamdani guy, we're going to have government-run grocery stores. It's going to be so wonderful. Yeah, okay. We're going to raise taxes on the rich. Good luck with that.
Yes, make them pay their fair share, Gazy.
Well,
finally.
Good luck with that.
What?
Okay. Because there are a bunch of stories out there now. And this is going to be a theme this week. I'm already seeing the stories this morning. Okay, this guy is now definitely, no doubt, he's the next mayor of New York City. By the way, January 1st is when he starts. What's he really going to do? What can he really do? Well, there are some things yes, and there are some things no. He wants to raise New York City income taxes on the rich. Good luck with that, because the state legislature in New York has to approve that. He can't do it all by himself. Plus the fact that New York City, of course, has a city council. City Council has like 50 people, 5-0, 50 people on the New York City Council. And what, Mamdani? Mamdani can't be popular with all 50 people. He can't be. So he's got to sway them about doing this, that, and the other thing. The governor of New York is Kathy Hochul. Now, she endorsed Mamdani because Democrats. All right, there we go. She's up for re-election next year. She has to watch her step to make sure that she doesn't overstep. So it could it be that all this stuff about this Mamdani guy is much ado about nothing? That he may talk a good game. He may make tons of promises. He'll probably tick off a lot of people while he's doing it. What's he actually going to get accomplished? And the final answer could be not very much, except maybe getting people to move out of New York City because they're ticked off about being there. And they have the money to move. All right, watch this. All right, just watch this. I mean, the message for me last night is simply something I already knew. Politics in this country is very cyclical. All right, last year was a right-wing year. This year, apparently, is more of a left-wing year. Next year, well, who knows? As congressional elections, of course, that's huge. All right, Congress, Senate, all that sort of thing. Probably some more governorships and so on. U.S. politics is cyclical.
See, I'd shorten that by a couple of syllables myself, but to each their own, I suppose.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this, but all right.
I think you could get rid of the lickle. In the center.
Just the sick part? Okay, well.
Politics is very, very sick.
Some people would agree with you. All right, there we go. Now, apparently in Kentucky yesterday, some folks were all fired up. They wanted to go vote, and the polls were closed in Kentucky. Like, wait a minute, it's election day. What do you mean the polls are closed? And so apparently they called state government officials and so on. The Kentucky Secretary of State is Michael Adams. He had to put out a statement yesterday, or maybe last night. I'll quote the statement. His statement was, quote, "We're getting calls about polls being closed. They are closed because we do not have elections today. Kentucky votes next year." So apparently there were, I don't know how Kentucky handles it, but apparently they had no elections yesterday. Nobody was running for anything. In Kentucky.
Huh.
All right. How about that? Some people in Kentucky apparently not paying attention. And so, you know, you get this cable news coverage and all this stuff. People, I can't wait to go vote. And then, what do you mean we can't vote? Well, because we don't have any elections this year. Yeah, Mr. Adams' statement, this is a quote, "You cannot vote today in Kentucky for the mayor of New York City or the governor of Virginia. Sorry."
Bummer, dude.
Are there some folks actually thought they could do that? I mean, we can't vote for the governor of any of those states or whatever. Oh, goodness gracious. The judges' election, no surprise, all right? The three state Supreme Court justices here all won their retentions, essentially, I'd say, either 60-40 or by a 2-1 margin. Now, there was something I was watching for, and I mentioned this during yesterday's show.
Yeah.
When I voted, all right, there were six judge retentions on the ballot yesterday. Three state Supreme Court, two other state courts, and then the one local court. Katie Oliver from the Court of Common Pleas, the fancy name, local court, she won handily. Her retention election, so she gets another 10-year term as a local judge. But I was watching this. Now, Scott here, I'm from Penns Valley, all right? My area is Gregg Township. Gregg Township is pretty red, all right? Red and blue, all that stuff. Gregg Township is pretty red. And so I wanted to see the election results across the board, but from Gregg Township, where I live. And so, again, county website, nice job, tallying the numbers as they come in, really great. Didn't have them in by the time I went to bed last night. So this morning, woke up like, all right, let's check this out. And there's the results. And for all, in Gregg, just in Gregg Township, okay, for all six of those judge retention elections, no outpaced yes by a, I would call it a significant margin, all six of them. And so this yes-no campaign that we've been dealing with here this fall, I wondered if some people were just going to say, nope, I'm voting no for everybody. No, 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 no. Or I'm voting yes for everybody. Yes, 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 yes. Well, in Gregg Township, at least, the no's beat the yeses. Now, for the whole county, no. Yeses beat no's. And for the whole state, wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. Yes over no. Again, if you're going to vote no for a judge, they must have really done something bad, like broke the law or was involved in a big controversy like corruption and stuff like that. None of that really happened here, so the chance for no winning was an uphill climb to begin with. And this pack, you know, throwing money at this race, again, by my count, I think I got 7 postcards about no, 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 and all this sort of stuff. Folks, this is a reminder. Money does not buy wins. All right? Some people equate politics and money. It's like whoever earns the most money wins. Okay?
Money just buys happiness. It's time you people learn this.
Oh, okay.
What?
All right. You'll have to give me some details on that if you don't mind. Money does not automatically mean wins. All you got to do is look at the presidential election last year. Remember, Kamala Harris pulled in an unbelievable amount of money and blew through pretty much all of it and lost significantly. So this pack, you know, this what I.
Look at Penn State football this year.
Well, there's the thought.
Wait a second. That's not what I wanted.
This is called the Commonwealth Leaders Fund. See, I still have one of the postcards right here. They poured millions of dollars into that no, 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 and went down in flames. Now, my question at this point is, did these people learn anything from this? The answer is probably not much. All right, next time something like this comes up, they'll find ways to get more money and pour and blow through it and send more postcards and TV ads and all this sort of thing. Money does not buy elections. It simply doesn't. Ideas do. I think this bunch, they overplayed their hand. I think they ticked off a lot of people across the state. It boomeranged on them, and they lost big time last night. Is there a lesson that they should learn? Yes. Will they? Probably not. Because they're political animals is what they do. All right. Again, we're going to take a break here. We'll save a lot of this. We have guests today. We're going to lighten up a little bit. We have guests tomorrow, Friday. Let's let the dust settle for a couple days. Friday, we'll really tackle some of this stuff. All right, there we go. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Yes, there was sportsy stuff. Not just election stuff going on yesterday. So we're going to check on the sportsy stuff. We have some good guests coming up later. Don't you go away. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? sounds so good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfont.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday edition, and it is time for a check of sports. Lots to get to on this Wednesday. Penn State football team preparing to shock the world Saturday at Beaver Stadium when the Nittany Lions take on undefeated and second-ranked Indiana in a noon kickoff at Beaver Stadium. The Nittany Lions now know their next game, a week from Saturday at Michigan State, will kick off at 3:30. Indiana is second behind Ohio State in the inaugural and also the first college football playoff rankings of the season. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, then it's Texas A&M 3rd, Alabama 4th, and Georgia 5th. Ole Miss is 6th, followed by BYU, Texas Tech. Boy, it'd be interesting if BYU and Texas Tech would play each other. Wait a second, they do on Saturday.
Oh.
Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas, and Oklahoma, respectively, round out the top 12. And there's 12 teams in the playoffs. But Texas and Oklahoma would be out of the playoffs at the moment due to 14th-ranked Virginia from the ACC and Memphis from the American Conference needing to be included. There are three other Big Ten teams ranked in the top 25, with USC at 19, Iowa at 20, and Michigan at number 21. Now, you may notice Penn State not in the initial college football playoff rankings here. In talking with some experts, it appears that they put more weight, the committee did, on the losses to UCLA, Northwestern, and Iowa than they did in that fourth quarter explosion against Oregon and a competitive first half against Ohio State. Also possible that they weighted the non-conference schedule heavily against Penn State, and they didn't gain a lot of traction with that 3-0 start. Who's to say exactly why Penn State isn't in the playoff rankings? Maybe some combination of all of those things. The 5-game losing skid could be something that the committee ended up weighing pretty heavily in the overall scheme of things. Now, here's the thing. I've had some folks ironhead. Is there any path to the playoffs? Of course there is. All Penn State really needs to do, you need to take care of business, win the final four games. That starts with the big upset over Indiana. That is going to be a marquee signature victory for Penn State. Now, on top of that, you need the zombie apocalypse to take out the SEC and the ACC and just eat all of the teams and players in both of those conferences.
Okay.
And I am telling you, Penn State could be right there as a number 12 seed at the end of the season. Keep an eye out. Just need the zombie apocalypse to hit the southeastern, southwestern part of the United States. Would help a little bit if, you know, it takes out the West as well. Keep an eye on that.
Would they still, so if they have the zombie apocalypse, they would still have the playoff?
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we wouldn't be impacted here in the Northeast. The zombies always start in the southeastern part of the country. They wouldn't
warmer.
Work their way all the way up
okay.
to the Northeast by that point.
Too cold.
Don't be ridiculous, Geezy. Come on.
So I'm just a question.
Of course they would have
Sorry.
It. Yeah, you can't just cancel willy-nilly.
Okay. We did it with COVID.
Yeah, but that hit the entire country. I'm talking about a zombie apocalypse that hits the southeast and mid-Atlantic states and maybe some of the Midwest and West states, but those states only. I'm looking at only like 26, 27 states being impacted.
Okay. That's...
You and your ridiculous scenarios,
folks,
where we're just going to shut down everything because of a zombie apocalypse. Okay, Geezy. Hello to Fantasyland.
Sorry.
What's the matter with you?
Sorry. Move on.
All right. Let's take a look at some postseason action in the PIAA state playoffs last night. The Bald Eagle area girls volleyball team is moving on to the PIAA AA quarterfinals after sweeping Hopewell last night 25-11, 27-25, and 25-21. Lady Eagles will take on Corey in the state quarterfinals on Saturday. The Lady Eagles are now 21-3 on the season. Corey seems to be having a pretty nice year. Corey is 18-0 on the season heading into Saturday's quarterfinal matchup. In the PIAA Quad A tournament, Pine Richland swept the state college girls volleyball team last night 25-22, 25-19, and 25-22. So Pine Richland advances to face Garnet Valley in the state quarterfinals on Saturday. State College sees its terrific season come to an end with a record of 14-2. State College football team getting ready to travel to Erie to take on McDowell in the PIAA 6A sub-regional Friday night. Little Lions are 8-2 on the year, while the Trojans are 3-7. Kickoff Friday night is set for 7 o'clock. One other Center County team still playing in the postseason, the Belfont football squad, will take on top-seeded Juniata for the District 6 Quad A Championship Friday night. Red Raiders are 5-6 on the season. Juniata is 6-4. That game will kick off at Mifflin County High School at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Penn State's Caitlin McBean has earned first-team All-Big Ten honors in women's soccer for a second straight season. The fifth-year senior getting properly acknowledged by the conference. Penn State also has Amelia White on the second team and three third-team selections in Bella Icekew, Riley Gleason, and Aubrey Culpa. Julia Raich also named Penn State's Big Ten Sportsmanship Award winner. The Nittany Lions will find out on Monday if they receive an at-large selection to the NCAA tournament. The selection show will get underway at 4 o'clock Monday afternoon. Penn State is 9-7-3 on the season, 5-4-2 in the Big Ten. We'll, again, find out Monday if that is enough to get Penn State back into the NCAA tournament field. Penn State's J.J. Weebush has been named the Big Ten Men's Hockey Second Star of the Week. Weebush scored a couple of power play goals and had an assist in the series sweep at Ohio State last week. Penn State coach Guy Gadowski confirming that Aiden Fink will be out for the foreseeable future after sustaining an upper body injury against Ohio State in last Thursday's game, and not sure if and when he may get back, but likely not until at least after the new year. Fink has 9 points for Penn State this season. The 9-1 Nittany Lions are up to number 3 in the coaches' poll this week, and Penn State is preparing for a big series in the Big Ten at top-ranked Michigan State Friday night and Saturday night.
And you see who they got next weekend. They got Michigan.
Michigan happens to be ranked number 2.
Yeah, how about that?
In the country at the moment.
Wow, 1-2.
What is up with these football and hockey teams? Yeah, let's just go play out
1-2
teams in consecutive weeks. All right.
Interesting.
Well, I like the hockey team's chances a little better, just throwing that out there. After posting, unless there's a zombie apocalypse.
After posting
a pair of shutouts with 31 total saves in the series against Robert Morris, Penn State's Katie Deesa has been an obvious choice for the AHA Goaltender of the Week. Deesa now has 18 career shutout victories. That is too shy of the Penn State record. If I do the math right here, I think the Penn State record then would be, I'm getting 20.
Okay.
The 12-0 Nittany Lions are off this weekend and will host a pair of games against Syracuse on Friday the 14th and Saturday the 15th at Pagola Ice Arena. The Nittany Lions are again ranked 6th in the coaches' poll this week. Wisconsin is number 1, followed by Minnesota, Ohio State, Cornell, Minnesota Duluth, and Penn State, respectively. Penn State and Cornell, the only undefeated teams in the top 20. Mm. I think Cornell is 7-0, and Penn State 12-0. Penn State women's volleyball team is down to number 25, but still in the rankings in the coaches' poll this week. The Nittany Lions are now 13-9 on the season. The Nittany Lions will be at Purdue on Friday night, and then at Illinois on Sunday afternoon this weekend. Pittsburgh Steelers have signed former Penn State cornerback Daquan Hardy to their practice squad. The Steelers are 5-3, getting ready for their matchup at the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday night. And just hoping the Steelers can kind of keep it rolling here.
Chargers are the favorite next
game. Yes, and it's a tough trip going cross country like that and all. Some big time action last night. It was Akron beating Massachusetts 44-10, and Ohio University beat Miami of Ohio 24-20. They have the college football spotlight to themselves, and they will again tonight. You're saying to yourself, self, boy, I hope there's more action tonight. Oh, there's more action, baby. Can you handle it is the question. Kent State will be at Ball State tonight, and Northern Illinois travels to Toledo for your Maction matchups on a Wednesday night.
Football every single night
of the week. Big Ten action this weekend. Northwestern will be at USC, along with the Nittany Lions hosting Indiana. We'll have Ohio State at Purdue, Maryland at Rutgers, Very interesting one in Iowa City, where the Hawkeyes host Oregon. It'll be Washington at Wisconsin and UCLA hosting Nebraska on Saturday as well. Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of rumors surrounding A.J. Brown. He's still there. No trade there. There were some pretty significant trades yesterday in the NFL. New York Jets sending cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts and defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys. The Las Vegas Raiders sent wide receiver Jacoby Myers to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eagles did acquire pass rusher Jalen Phillips and cornerbacks Michael Carter the second and Jair Alexander yesterday. But again, A.J. Brown still there in Philadelphia. Also, last night, the Philadelphia Flyers winning in a shootout, 5-4 over the Canadiens. Tyson Forrester missed last night's game, will likely miss a couple of more with an injury. Philadelphia jumping out to a 2-0 lead last night on a couple of Bobby Brink goals, and then holding on to get to overtime. Trevor Zegras ended up scoring the game winner in the shootout for the Flyers. The Chicago Bulls used a fourth quarter surge to down the 76ers, 113-111 last night. Tyrese Maxey poured in 39 points for the 76ers in the loss. Philadelphia is now 5-2 on the season. We'll see. Steelers again, a big one here with the Chargers. Really a lot of the betting odds now have the Ravens as the betting favorite to win the AFC North. Ravens are at the moment 2 games behind Pittsburgh. The Steelers' schedule definitely gets tougher. They're coming off a big win over the Colts, mind you, a home game, but still a big win over the Colts. And there are still the 2 head-to-head matchups between the Steelers and the Ravens remaining this season.
Yeah, they always hold those till December.
Keep the faith if you're a Steelers fan.
Anyway,
that's my advice.
Sauce Gardner is the happiest guy in the NFL.
He's pretty happy. That's not a bad move for Sauce. Of a sudden,
good for him.
Yeah, looking like he.
Good for him.
Maybe heading to the playoffs, where prior you had no chance, save for obviously the zombie apocalypse.
All right, now help me out. How does a 3-7 team make the playoffs? That high school game?
Yeah, it's...
How does that happen?
Different schools make different choices, and they opted to go in. Some of these districts, District 10 and District 6, notably among them, don't have a lot of teams.
Hardly have virtually none.
In the 6A level, and so... As the kids say, it is what it is. 6-7. Those are the two things the kids say.
Great.
So the Little Lions will take on the Trojans in Erie. That just alternates by year, so that's why it's up there at the team that has the substantially worse record. But that in and of itself kind of tells you that the dilemma that 6A is in is that you have to make that kind of a trip for what is in essence a district game. It's a sub-regional where they're kind of combining the District 6 and 10 programs. But that is a long way to go. I'm just saying, for to play
a 3-7 team.
Yes. Feel like you have a pretty good idea anyway on the outcome heading in. But yeah, I feel for the parents and the fans that is not an easy trip to make. And I think it'll be fairly late till you get home. Might actually be into the AM hours of Saturday. And, if you are, and I have to believe there are a couple of folks in this position where you're the parents of kiddos, and you want to go, obviously, support your kiddos, root your team on to victory, so you're making the trip. and then maybe you're hosting a tailgate or at least participating in a tailgate, and yep, it has to be a noon kickoff against Indiana on Saturday, so you got to get up there early. I think there will be a few folks that will be not staying up for the Saturday night games on their TVs Saturday night. Would be just a guess on my part.
Just a thought.
From the State College football family.
All right, let's take a break here.
Let's do it.
We got some guests. Talk about some tough issue with our next guest. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to lighten up a little bit. So stay tuned. We got some good stuff coming up here. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. The Fox. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's sports, let's talk on a Wednesday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese with you. We'll be talking with Mike the Mailman about his book, Pushing the Envelope. It is now out. He'll have some book signings coming on this weekend. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now we are joined via the phone line by Mel Curtis with the YMCA. Mel, first of all, thank you for taking the time this morning. I know you are a very busy man, so appreciate the time.
Not a problem. We're loading cars as we're talking.
I know that you are. For folks that that don't know, before we get into to why we're having you call in this morning, just give us a little background and what you do with the Y. And my gosh, how long have you been doing it, Mel? I don't even know. I know it's been a long time, but I'm not even sure I know how long.
Well, actually, I am the anti-hunger director for the YMCA of Center County. So any food program in Center County, I oversee and make sure everything's going right. The program actually started back in 2004. We started out with what's known as the free summer lunch program. And it's just escalated since then.
And unfortunately, we've seen the need escalate in this area, but you put out the call earlier this week. Maybe as great a need as we've ever seen right now with everything going on with the shutdown and everything. Would that be fair to say, Mel?
Actually, this, as we stand right now, we are seeing more people than we did during COVID. And let me clarify this a little bit. These are working families. These are not people that were, you know, poverty level people or anything like that. These are people that are struggling to make ends meet.
Yep.
Due to the, you know, we went through a very long period of high cost of everything. Food today is still expensive. You know, to raise a family today with, you know, with children, you know, you're spending, you know, a few hundred dollars at the grocery store every week. So now, throughout all this, when this snuck up with SNAP benefits stopping and now starting back up supposedly, this caught everybody off guard. You know, they had no idea. So from that standpoint, this was much worse than what it was for COVID, because with COVID, we had mass amounts of food on hand that we were able to, you know, hit the ground running day one. So it's, you know, it's a process. And I think what's happening is, you know, like, We're doing some things all over the place right now. You're going to see the bus, the trucks are all out doing food drives. Realistically, we're just trying to help these communities out. I mean, you know, we're coming into holiday season, so people are going to be stretched for, you know, extra income for what they would usually use. So if we can bring a little bit of peace to people, that's what it's all about. And, you know, that's, we got to build our community back stronger.
Mel, you have several different programs. Talk a little bit about the backpack program, and I don't think I realized that it's 9 different school districts that you're working with, and 38 school buildings.
Yeah, and then plus we have the charter schools. We have all the Head Start, all their centers. And basically we just shot up to over 1,800 backpacks within the last week. And it's basically growing daily. Schools are sending in more applications for kids. And a lot of it is basically due to, you know, when the money's not there, you know, while the kids are in school, they're being fed breakfast and lunch. But come the weekend, if there's no food in the house, you know, these kids struggle when they get back to school. So the backpack program has been a phenomenal program. The greatest thing about this, you know, please understand, this, all these programs we're running are being run by volunteers. I'm basically the only YMCA staff that's involved in this and overseeing this. So we have an army of volunteers, and that makes everything go much easier. And it's important. Like last night, we packed at Penn State. The students packed 1,800 backpacks. They packed 1,800 backpacks in an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
There was over 40 students there, and I mean, and it's the greatest feeling in the world, because these kids want to give back to the community, and they also have a, you know, strong interest in you know, what's going on in our communities, because they're going to graduate, they're going to go out into the community, so that, you know, they've got to understand what's going on.
Sure. Mel, the best way, well, let's just, three different things. One, Are you in need of more volunteers? Can people sign up to help out in any way, or are you well covered in that regard?
Now, we can always take volunteers. Please understand something. You know, the average age of a volunteer is over 65 years old. And, you know, we're trying to get into schools and like what we're doing at Penn State to get younger people involved in volunteering in their community. I mean, if you look at it, in most organizations today, like service clubs and places like that, you know, you don't see a lot of young people in it. So, yes, we will always take volunteers, and for young people, it's a life lesson. You know, they walk in and they see this, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, what is this all about? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We also need people. We're getting a tremendous amount of calls now for people that are homebound that don't have transportation to get food delivered to their house. So if someone wanted to deliver food to, let's say, two or three homes, you know, we're always looking for volunteers for that. I think the biggest thing is realistically, you know, a lot of times when people think of volunteering on a program like this, they think long hours or whatever. But, I mean, we have, even our distributions we have down to a, you know, they're streamlined. We're in and out in 2 hours or less. So, and if we, you know, we get to a point where on a food distribution or whatever that we see that we can do less people, you know, we'll ask if anyone needs to leave, you know, please do so. And, you know, because we don't want to burn out volunteers.
Right. The food donations themselves, Mel, where should they take food? Are there specific foods that right now you're in particular need of?
Yeah, we're actually doing a food drive this Saturday in conjunction with State College School District. And basically that came about because in the past they had always worked with the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank and State College Food Bank for food for the families for Thanksgiving. And unfortunately this year that is not happening for a lot of budget reasons. I know State College Food Bank is, you know, they've got to take care of all their pantries and make sure that there's food getting out and helping them. So basically I get a call from a teacher and she basically told me what was going on. And so I called over and talked to them and said, you know, we'd like to help with whatever we can. So we will be at the State College High School this weekend from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. where people can bring food in and we'll load it on the trucks. Where you'll see the bus and the truck out at different locations, where like Weiss Markets and that, where we're going to be doing pack the bus for backpacks. We're going to do one in Bellefonte for pack the truck for the military, for all the veterans programs that we're doing, feeding them. So yeah, I mean we're out a lot. And a lot of this stuff is on the YMCA Center County Facebook and also website. It's sort of easy to find, but it's not easy to find, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
It's, you know, marketing is getting the word out is realistically the hardest problem. But yeah, we're getting a lot of calls from different clubs and organizations, you know, wanting to reach out and help in any way that they can.
Yeah, again, we're coming into obviously an important time of the year, and with winter and then the holidays and everything else. So it is important, if you're able, to help out, either volunteering, giving food, or, Mel, again, maybe the best thing, you tell me, but I'm thinking maybe just getting monetary donations to you, and you guys can then apply that as needed and where needed. Obviously, people are welcome to make monetary donations. Why don't you go over the details of how they can do that?
Yeah, basically, the monetary donations are very important, more so than a lot of other different things, because basically that gives us more purchasing power. I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, our backpack bill to fill all those backpacks every week, because every bag going out the door is identical, okay? And that's all fresh food that was just bought for these kids. So, we're not taking food and putting in there from a food drive or whatever. Right now, we're spending $6,000 a week just for that. So $24,000 a month starts to add up very, very quickly. So actually, you know, a person can go on to the website, the YMCA at Center County, and click on the anti-hunger program, and you can drop down, and there's a donation page there where they can, you know, pledge, do whatever the amount of money that they want to give.
Perfect.
They can also, you know, another thing, another simple way to do it is, you know, I mean, everybody, I think, in the country has my phone number now, but, you know, if they were to call my office, my phone number in my office is 814-801-0111. And, I mean, we can set up that they could send a check directly to me, and, you know, I can get them out the necessary letter after the fact. It's interesting from a standpoint that, you know, when you think of things and I'm going to go back to the backpack program. You know, right now we are feeding a child, and it's costing, each child is costing us $4.69 to feed them for the weekend. That gives them two breakfasts, two lunch, two dinner items, and two snacks. If you think about it, if you go to a fast food restaurant, you're paying more than $5 for one meal. So, you know, to help a child out for $4.69, you know, I think is really important.
For sure, Mel. And again, the I think, did I see it right? It's 350 families that you have registered right now with the program?
Yeah, Blessings in a Box.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the sad part to that is, and I think that this is what people don't understand. We have over 100 families on a waiting list that need food for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's at a time where, you know, I've never been in a situation where I've had to turn people away. Nor do I like being in that position. But right now we're adding names to a list, and if, you know, if we get more financial support for this program, we can get these people, you know, a Thanksgiving dinner that they can prepare at home. The sad part about it is that, you know, I'm going to give you two different stories that hit me yesterday that I just can't get out of my mind. One of them was from a mom with four children. And she has stage 4 cancer. They need food. Another one was from, I got a call from a coworker, about a mom also with four children. And these are both, single moms, that, she works. She only makes $10 an hour. She hasn't eaten in 2 days because she wants to make sure her children have food. So when you start to hear things like this, it's like, you know, why don't people just ask, you know, reach out? I mean, it's not like we're going to bite somebody's head off. We're not going to interfere with their life. You know, we're not going to pull up in front of their house and, you know, let the neighborhood know that they're getting free food. You know, I have two new slogans, and one of them is, you know, this is no longer a hunger issue. This has now become a moral issue. People in this country should not be hungry. And I think until every community wraps their arms around their community, we're never going to get out of this. Hunger is very real. And it's people that are working that are suffering every bit as bad. And the average person, when they hear of hunger, they automatically think of poverty. And, you know, it's not that way. I mean, we could all walk down College Avenue and walk past people, and I would dare you to tell me who you think is, you know, facing food insecurity. Because they don't look any different. They're not dressed any different. You know, they haven't, you know, hunger has no face. It has no address. So I think that, you know, sometimes it's better to take a deeper look and say, you know, how can we make our community stronger? And quit worrying about a lot of the other things that, you know, that we have no control over. But we do have a certain amount of control over hunger, and a lot of it depends on, you know, our communities.
Again, you can go to the website, ymcaofcentercounty.org. Go to the anti-hunger program there. You can donate there. You can check out the events. I want to hit one more time, Mel. The when is the Pack the Truck event in Bellefonte?
We're settling that today with Weiss.
Okay.
And I will send that over to you.
Gotcha. Please do.
We're looking right now. Potentially, we're looking at four. So I'll get you all those dates. I do want people to understand a lot of these different food drives that we're going to be doing are the volunteers that are going to be there are all going to be college students and high school
Amazing.
Students. Jeff, to jump back on one thing,
yeah.
on the website, it is the correction on that is YMCAOCC.org.
Okay.
It's just shortened up version of YMCA of Center County.
Got it. YMCAOCC.org. And then the food drive at the State College High School will be this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
And again, Mel, you want to go over one more time just how people can give monetary donations in particular, along with obviously these food drives?
Monetary donations can be done through our website. They can also be sent directly to me. Once again, my address is Meshannon Valley YMCA in care of Mel Curtis, P.O. Box 426, Phillipsburg, PA 16866.
Very good.
And a person can designate, like, if they want that money to go to backpacks or if they want that to go to Thanksgiving dinners. As an example, someone could supply a family a Thanksgiving dinner for $40.
Yeah, it's amazing how far the dollars go here.
Yes.
Because, again, of the connections you have and knowing what people's needs are and all of those things. Mel, anything that we didn't ask that you want to get out about the program, the need, anything at all here?
Yeah, one of the newest programs that we're doing right now is each branch of the YMCA of Center County, we put small, call them food pantries in there. So if a family runs out of food, they could go to any of the YMCAs and just walk in and say that, you know, they're in need of food support. And they can go in and pick foods out that they need. No questions asked, no names asked, nothing. It's there to support the communities. The other program, which is growing rapidly, is the program is called the Military Share. The Military Share program, we started in January of this year, and that is open to all veterans throughout the county. It is only for veterans. And if a veteran passed away, the spouse can still receive the food. We do that the second Monday of every month. So, and all the veterans have to do is fill out a short form. We just need to know what their DD-214 number is or a VA number, and they're set to go. And that's a phenomenal program because, you know, we are now being able to help support, you know, all these veterans that, you know, put their life on hold to serve our country. And it's probably one of the most gratifying programs that I've been involved in.
Yeah, just amazing stuff. Mel, we thank you for all you're doing. Appreciate the time this morning. We will stay in touch. Probably have you back on here another time or two before we get to the end of the year here. But really appreciate everything, Mel. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all you do to help our community.
And that is Mel Curtis with the YMCA of Center County. Again, folks, if you are able to help out, either volunteer some time, donate food, or really, if you have a little extra money that you can give at this time, it would go a long way toward helping families in need right here in our backyard. So we'd encourage you to do that if you're able. And again, it's ymcaocc.org, ymcaocc.org. And you go down to the spot there that has the anti-hunger programs, and you can check out all of the different ways you can get involved, including donating right there or signing up to volunteer with some of the amazing programs that Mel runs there. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Mike Herr, Mike the Mailman, joins us in studio. We're going to talk about his new book, Pushing the Envelope, and reminisce a little bit about the good old days. Remember when we got letters in the mail?
What's a letter?
We'll talk with Mike after this.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
WFXX, Huntington, your sports radio. Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State
Knowledge.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and well, look who showed up. Mike Herr, much better known as Mike the Mailman, world famous. Other than Cliff Clavin, maybe the most famous mailman in all of the world.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me here, guys.
Thank you for being here.
It's great being here.
Mike, for folks that don't know, and there's probably two or three of you that are like, Mike the mailman, what's going on here? 99% of the audience, very well familiar. For folks that don't know, give us a little bit of your background, why you're known as Mike the Mailman, and then we'll delve into the book here.
Well, you know, I started to work at at the post office on Fraser Street in 1968, and I worked there for 7 years. I went to school. It was a night job, so I worked at night. I went to Penn State in the daytime, worked at night, and then the job for the University Park post office manager was up, and I said, I don't know if I'm going to try this. Well, the first day I was there, I said to my bride, Katie, I said, I found a place that I really like, because I like doing antics and things like that, and that was the right spot for me. And I stayed there for 40 years. So, and then as I was, like, 1976, 77, I started to feel that kids really liked what I was doing, even the faculty and staff liked what I was doing. So and then someone said, you know, you should be called the mailman. I said, okay. So somebody gave me that title, like, 1978, and then it stuck. And a lot of people in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they're on, know me more than the young kids today, because I've been retired 9 years. But it's been fun. No matter where I go, people say, hey. And doing these book signs, people tell me stories that I had forgotten about, and it's been fun. I had a good time.
Now, I had not, I wasn't really until yesterday when we were talking. I don't think I had known your college background or that originally you're from Lock Haven.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I went to several colleges, and I'm a homebody, and I told my dad, I said, I don't want to leave home. I like it here. The jobs I could have gotten were different parts. Rochester, New York was one, and I said, my dad said, well, why don't you try working at the post office? And, you know, I said, okay. So the first 7 years, I drove back and forth from Lock Haven, which is, at that age, you don't mind your...
Yeah.
it's different now, but back then it was fun. And I listened to all the radio stations going back home. Actually, you know, AM stations back then carried 50,000 watches. You could hear them all the way from State College. And I was rocking and rolling the whole way home. It was fun. It was a good time. And when I get home at 11:30, 12 o'clock, all my friends are out. So, my mom and dad always let me sleep in, because they knew that I was always going to show up for work, which was a good thing.
Now, if I'm remembering correctly, you said your college was just the one that is, like anybody that graduated from there, forget about them.
If I'm
remembering right about your college experience.
Your college.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that was the one you said was just a miserable experience. Well, anybody that would have graduated from there, I just can't really...
What are you trying to do here, Bob? Pick a fight, huh?
Well, no, I just... is that where you were?
I am.
It was York Junior College. But the funny thing, at that time, it was the same time that the Philadelphia Phillies took a nosedive. And whenever they like an 8-game lead and St. Louis ended up going to the World Series, everything wasn't right with me. I said, I got to get out. I thought New York was bad luck, so I left.
There you go.
I got on my motorcycle and left. I had a motorcycle. I did.
Okay, these guys are rubbing it in. Right? Very nice. Okay. Now, you got a book.
Yes. I have a book. I have a book out. Our daughter, Mary-Kate, her weeks, and I, we collaborated in this for like... Well, we started about, like, 9 years ago. I said, well, I should write a book, and she, sure. And then COVID hit, and she had a child, and Declan's now 7 years old. And she goes, Dad, I think you should really write this, because everywhere we go, people know you and love you. And so we started, last couple of years, we got serious. But in the last 60 days, before the book was published, she said, Dad, I have a lot of homework for you to do. And, boy, I delivered the homework. And so we put it all together. And her neighbor was he's a retired editor, so he edited it for us. And Dave Lembeck in town, who's a graphic designer, did all the work, picture work. And he did a great job. And it just came together. And it was like, it's very, very, it was really cool. I like doing it with Mary-Kate, because we learned so much about one another. You know, I would tell her things that I probably wouldn't have told her when she was 15. She said, Dad, you did that? I said, oh, yeah. We had a little secret, but it was fun. And our daughter, Michaela, and my bride, Katie, they all pitched in and helped, too, which was great. It was fun.
You have dirty stories to share in this book, Mike?
No, I just have a lot of different stories. A lot of stories I didn't get in. One of the stories I forgot to put in the book was, you know, our beloved tavern owner, Pat Doherty. He was in line one day, and I did something. And every time I used to go in the tavern for dinner, he'd always tell, this is Mike the mailman, and he'd tell me the story. He said he was standing in line one day. He said, and some kid come rushing in and said, I need to get this there overnight. What's the fastest way I can get this there? Well, I should nonchalantly reached in my pocket and put up my key. I said, my truck's out in the out in the parking lot. And the key, I did that so many times. I wondered that I did it. It's a reaction for the student. It was, Pat always loved that story. It was fun.
wait, nobody ever took you up on this?
No, that's true.
Oh, I would have tried.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There is one kid who took me up on another prank that I did. If I can share this with you.
Yeah, please.
He came in and... back then, no one knew how to send packages. Maybe now they don't either. But I helped the kid wrap this package. I said, what are you doing tomorrow morning at 6:37? He said, why? So I have a remedial wrapping class. I said, you got to come. So I came in early that day to put up some stock, and I got a knock on the door. It was this young kid. I said, well, since he's here, he came in. And I showed him how to. And all that whole semester, when he wasn't in class, he came in and helped other kids wrap the package. It was great. It was fun. It turned out to be really good. Good kids. Stuff like that people don't do in normal post offices.
Yeah.
This really wasn't a normal post office. I always call it a non-postal post office. I always did.
All right. Here's a general question. Yes. All right. Is the post office the same now as it was when you started? I mean, it's the post office. They deliver mail.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I would say I don't know. I give the people. I mean, the people who deliver mail, they have the real. I never really delivered the mail. I mean, that was Mike the mailman. I could never do a real job like that. People came to me, but yeah. I think the letter carriers. Are really dedicated to what they do. I couldn't do that.
For sure.
Yeah, they're really, and in a rain or sleet, you know that slogan, it's true. These guys and girls go out and really do a good job. So I'm hoping that's, I think, the mail volume I think is probably down a little bit, but I know when I was working, the post office, there was a line all the time, which, to me, that 8 hours slipped right by, went by quickly.
I mean, in the old days, right, the mail room had people in it. Is everything, like, automated now?
Mostly, yeah. Yeah, because when I first started back on Fraser Street, I used to sort mail by hand and actually use twine to seal the envelopes and stuff. And then as we moved on, it got to be letter sorting machines. And now it's a lot more sophisticated than ever. And it seemed like it... People complain about how long it takes something to get there, but it happens. They do a lot of volume. A post office is a lot of work. So, I enjoy sending like packages and letters, and I enjoy receiving them. And I think a lot of people do.
Mike, I'm interested in the process of the book writing. Was it more your daughter kind of interviewing you, and that, or was it you just off the top of your head giving stories? Give me a little context of what the development of the book was.
Well, every day she'd take an hour. We'd take an hour out of each day, and she would ask me the questions, and she would write all this stuff down, and then she'd say, well, "What about that? And what about this?" But yeah, but Mary Kate really. She actually really pushed the envelope. she really did. She was really very Mary Kate has the ability to listen to four conversations at one time. I don't know how she does, and she has a job, she has a child, husband, but she worked hard to get this done, and she took care of all the how you get it published and all this stuff, and she's really savvy and all that stuff. But she really pushed me. She said, "Dad, we can get this." You know, she kept saying, "We can." She was my biggest cheerleader. She really was, and that's how it was. She every day about an hour every day, and then in a night session we work what we talked about, and it was fun.
Now, how far back do you go in the memoir? Are we like going from?
17745.
Toddler Mike.
Yeah, 17745, Lock Haven, and it showed my first love was baseball. I found a picture of me in a little baseball uniform. And that was, I had all the stuff, much to the chagrin of my bride, I had all the stuff in the basement, memorabilia that I thought was important. And it turned out to be good because Mary Kay would ask me to find something. Sure enough, it was down there. I'm unorganized, but I'm organized in some way. If you see Katie, tell her I said that.
Now, were you? Did you do a lot of like pickup games in your neighborhood when you were a kid? Was that like you just go down to the ball yard? Because it's just one of the things that I don't know. I think is disappointing to me in watching kids today is. I at least don't see anywhere near the number of just pickup games. Kids just out, not adults around, not organized. Yeah. Just they're out there playing games. And
my mom and dad
don't see a lot.
My mom and dad knew I'd be back by 5:30, 6 o'clock. I mean, they knew. Yeah. Everyone was doing that. You're right. There were so many different fields to play on. Whatever sport it was, mostly baseball, but it was the best. You're right. And no adults were around. We just had fun playing. We had bats with tape on it. Balls with tape on it. And then when I got to play Little League Baseball, I said, wow, these bats are real. And the balls are new. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So you dreamed of becoming a professional baseball player, or what was the dream job? I'm guessing mailman was not in the vision when you were a kid? Or
when I was a kid, I love just watch these guys climb up telephone poles. They had all this stuff on there.
Yeah.
And I said, boy, that would be cool to do. That's what I first, I think I want to be a telephone pole climber.
There you go.
Because they had all this stuff on them and made all this noise. Like, and they get up there. A lot of people don't know that story, but it's true. It's like, wow. But then I don't know what happened after that. It disappeared. But it was fun to think that.
40 years you were a mailman.
Actually, I worked for the post office 48 years. Actually,
48 years.
I really didn't work for them. I have to share that with you. I was employed by the U.S. Post Office. What I did the last 40 years, it was fun. It wasn't work. I never called off. I like work. I like going to work. I opened the curtain and said it's showtime. I always said that. Sure enough, it was showtime.
But since you've retired, you've just been a hermit. This is what, the first time you've been out of your house,
yeah,
I think.
That's not going to happen.
But might as well plug obligatory and all of the things that you are doing, because
that's funny.
You might be more active in the community now than you were because you're able to get out during the day.
Well, the funny thing, you know, my two sisters, one in California, one in Carolina, they told Katie that we're concerned that Mike might not have enough to do when he retires. Well, like 2 months after I retired, I got a hold of the obligatory PSU pregame show got a hold of me, and we've been doing this for 10 years. And I play tennis three times a week, and I play poker two or three times a month, and I do my I'm like the groundskeeper for my house, and I like being out. I actually like being with people. You know, and people ask me to come here and there. I enjoy it. Now, Katie was more. A lot of people, when Katie was an educator, and a lot of people would have students, a lot of professors would have students to go to her, and they said, there's no way that Mike the Mailman is your husband. But she is directly opposite. She was not like me.
Now, was there, as you're going through, was there a favorite story of yours? I'm thinking in particular at the post office, but I suppose any story that you shared in the book that holds special meaning.
Well, the one I thought was. Well, there was a football player. For some reason, there are these dormitories for the football players out by the Latch building. They had to get their mailbox key at my post office. And one day a young kid came in, a smaller kid. He said, could I get a key? I said, are you on the football team? He said, yeah. I said, well, I thought you were on the debate team. You know, and he walked away. The next day, he came back. He came back and said, did you really think I was on the debate? I said, no, I was just kidding. I said, but here's what I'm going to do. If and when you ever, and I talk to these kids like they were just kids. I said, if and when you ever play for Penn State, get on this field with Penn State, I'm going to critique your work. Well, I said, you come in every Monday? Well, as a matter of fact, as a sophomore, he started playing, and he came in every Monday, and I critiqued his work. Well, the last game of his senior year, he was a safety. He goes, he had two 15-yard penalties. So when he came in that Monday, I had an old yellow shirt, and I threw both these flags out there. And he comes up and he said, I never touched that second guy. And then when he went into the pros, he actually sent me a shirt. He sent me a performance shirt. But that was fun.
Right.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, these kids, they're just kids. I mean, there's so much pressure on these athletes. No matter what sport it is, it's like, let's have fun with this kid. And I did it with a lot of sports. And I'm always amazed. I went to a lot of different sports at that time at work, different events. I was surprised how many people would come in, how many athletes would come in and say, thank you for showing up. I didn't know they had seen me there. But it was so nice that they're such a good group of kids.
Now, you have some book signings coming up. I want to promote those this weekend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Mary Kate's going to come in also, and she's excited about this. And we're going to be at the student bookstore on Friday from 3 to 5, and on Saturday from 4 to 6, and on Sunday from 11 to 1. But I said about the Saturday one, and I know there's going to be a happy rally in Happy Valley after the victory against Indiana. So,
obvious.
So hopefully the student bookstore, we can handle all this at one time. But like I said, Friday from 3 to 5, Saturday 4 to 6, and Sunday from 11 to 1.
All at the student bookstore. So, again, late afternoon on Friday after the signature victory of the season against Indiana on Saturday. And then right after, Good and Landon Tengwall will be down there at the student bookstore from 10 to 11 talking about the big win, analyzing how in the world Penn State outscored them 56-0. Nobody saw
it. This is great. This is great.
You'll be there with big smile on your face, citing the books and talking to the masses. Yeah.
More people will want the book after that. You're right. Everybody in such a good mood.
And the book is available everywhere books are available.
Go to Mike the Mailman. book.com, and that's how you get it. Couldn't get it at the Barnes & Noble because we self-publish, and they have certain publications.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But MikeTheMailmanBook.com is the easy way to get hold of it.
MikeTheMailmanBook.com.
Yeah. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's squeeze in a break here so we can air out the room after the Indiana predictions I just heard. Holy mackerel.
Well, that's
all right, we're joined by Mike Herr. By the way, his last name is not Mailman. It is Herr, H-E-R-R.
Well, I mean.
Okay, come on. When we come back, Mike, I want to ask you about sports. Okay. I want to ask you about cookies. I want to ask you about packages.
Okay, I'm ready. I'll be ready.
Sports, cookies, and packages.
Sports, cookies, and packages. All right, let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday morning. Mike the Mailman, Mike Herr, joining us in studio. He has his book, Pushing the Envelope Out, his memoir. 9 chapters, because that's his favorite number. We learned that on the Goon and Ironhead show yesterday. And kind enough to come in studio and join us this morning. And Mr. Geezy now has the floor, because he's got all kinds of important questions to get out of the way here.
Well, yes, after those Indiana predictions. Ooh, okay.
Now, Indiana might score. It might be 56.
That's
now.
True.
As you pointed out in the last segment, I am not a Penn State alum. Okay, so Mike, I never visited you at your post office.
Shame on you.
Never. Well, I was an error.
Well, you could have come up and stopped in anyway.
For folks who aren't familiar, just what visited. Is with the cookies? What's the deal with the cookies?
Well, one holiday season, I was probably like in early 80s, and on the holiday season, some woman from Old Main brought me over all these cookies. I said, wow, that's really nice of her to do that. And I sent her a nice little note, thank you note. And I said, you know, this could be a good idea that I created a cookie of the month contest, and I had an award board at my post office. Like I said, non-postal stuff on my all surrounding, but the nice award board, and people would bring me cookies, and I would judge the cookies. And there was a contest that had quality, quantity, and variety, and no chocolate, because I was talking to a chef from Hendersonville, and she said, Mike, anyone can make a cookie, but they're better without chocolate. So people thought I didn't like chocolate. So, but I was getting a variety of cookies. And my mother, God bless her, she always told me to share. And I like to try to share these cookies. However, when I got a cookie that was really, really good, you got to draw the line somewhere. I didn't share with you. Anyway, but yeah, but people would be, you wouldn't believe how many, I must have averaged, I would say 7 or 8 different packages of cookies a month. I mean, people also sent cookies, but all sometimes when I sent them, they gave me like a dozen. But it was really quality cookies. And in fact,
see, I am seeing the idea sparking here. I'm thinking a beer of the month here at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
You bring us a beer, I'll judge it, and we'll. Oh, you are sparking all kinds of wonderful ideas.
You guys don't have cookies for me today at all, or not?
No, I
don't.
Shamefully, we thought you were
bringing the cookies.
I usually eat all the cookies, you know.
Oh.
But as I mentioned before, you know, I've gained 4 pounds in the last 40 years, so I got to cut back a little bit. You know, got to draw the line. You know that.
Understood.
Oh, what a problem to have! Holy moly! Now, Penn State being what it is, people literally from all over the world here. And so you sent or you processed whatever packages, interesting packages that you sent out over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the heck is this or something? What are some interesting packages
that you
had sent out?
When I sent things out back then, I don't know if you could do it today. I remember a woman come in once with a beach ball. And I said, can I send it? I said, sure. I said, you want to send it just as a beach ball and not in a box? She said, can I do that? I said, probably not, but let's try it. So I put the magic marker on it, put a little sticker on it, and sure enough, it got there 2 or 3 days later. And also, in the book has a coconut. Somebody wanted to send a coconut, and she wanted to send it to her boyfriend who couldn't make it to the for spring break or whatever. So she wanted to like rub it into. So she sent a coconut. I said, let's do this. Why don't we just address it and just? I had a hard time putting the label on the coconut, but I stapled it on the postage label, and I stapled it. And sure enough, it got there. And it's like, I'm not sure if
that is why.
I don't know if you could do that today or not, but I lived over the edge. Why not? It was fun doing stuff like that.
So that is pretty.
You just put postage on the side of a beach ball.
Oh yeah,
and that's all you did.
And the postage. Oh yeah, and It was, yep, and they took care of it because it was, I don't know. I think it would handle it gently with it. It arrived, all the air was still in.
Amazing. Okay, I don't get it. So, I mean, my wife recently sent a card to someone elsewhere in the state. Yesterday, it came back to us with the little sticker on it that says, like, not return to sender, but apparently she didn't get the room number right on the card, and they sent it back, and we're scratching our heads like, come on, this guy, we had his name on it, and it's like, well, just give it to him.
I know, and a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them this, and Postal Service probably doesn't want to make me tell them that, but I always write out the zip codes, like O-N-E, because... You know, like the 168, not the numbers. I just write it out, and they said, "Why would you do that?" I said, "Well, if you have a number on it, it's sorted, and there's like a 10-15% sorting error that comes with it with the automatic machines. Huh. So when you write it out, it's hand sorted, and when it's hand sorted, it's get there."
That's a nice little tip to get.
I always do that. People say, how can you do that? I said, it works. You know, it's a lot quicker. You eliminate that potential machine error. That's what I
said. Interesting.
Yeah.
How many zip codes do you have memorized?
Not that many. It's only like 39,000. But it just when I was sorting mail back when I first started working, I made that a game. I sort all kind of mail everywhere, when I see a place, that's close to this zip code or that's close to that. Well, even when I travel somewhere, I say, oh, that's where that is, 221803 or something, 271, any of those numbers. It was fun to do. But I know a lot of zip codes. The first three numbers, anyway, the last two zip codes normally on a zip code is just the alphabet. Like let's say Aaronsburg, Pennsylvania, 16820. Then Allport, 16821. Yeah. Belfont, 16823. That's how that works, you know. I mean, State College is the hub, so it's 16801. But I should teach a class on that. Does Ollie's have a class on that? I should do that.
You should do that.
I know the Buchanani teaches a class.
Absolutely. Yeah, get in on that class.
I just learned something about zip codes.
I'm here for you guys. This is why I'm here.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Now, during all those decades, you primarily just dealt with students? Well, I mean, who are some interesting other people that came to your window?
Well, there were a lot of students and faculty. The faculty and staff came. It's funny. The Office of the Physical Plant guys would come in, and every time they would come in, you knew I always put my hard hat on, and that made them feel at home. And one of the supervisors always brought a new employee because he knew when he walked in the door I was going to put the hard hat on, and sure enough, they did that. And the faculty, I think I was with the faculty. I was probably their counselor, and with the students, I was probably I try to help them along too. But I had a sign at the post office. A simple sign said "relax," and I had it in like 50 some different languages to make the international kids feel much more.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because you had a way of making everybody feel like they were your friend, but you really did go out of your way with the international students.
Oh, yeah,
because you recognized that this had to be uncomfortable, especially for new students coming in overseas.
Yeah, because I was in first contact with a government employee, and I can't imagine me going to another country and doing what they did. And a lot of people who saw my relaxed sign said, you mind if I take it back to my office? but the internationals were so happy to see something in their language that really did relax them. And they said, oh, this is great. This guy sort of knows my language and all. And so one summer I had different people from different countries come in and had them write in their language. So I had all like 55 different languages. And it was good. It was fun.
Now, essentially all your career kind of coincided with Joe Paterno's career.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any dealings with Joe?
Oh, yeah. Joe would come in, and we wouldn't talk football. We wouldn't talk football. We just chit-chat a little bit. But he was such a good guy. He always bought a coil of stamps, 100 stamps. And he came in like about every 6-7 months he would come in. Hey, how you doing? You know, it was good.
Did he ever bring you any of Sue's cookies?
Actually, as a matter of fact, Sue did bring me cookies.
All right. Somewhere along the way, I figured that almost had to happen.
She was my last cookie of the month winner.
Is that right?
Yeah, she was.
I love it.
It was fun. But I do know a couple coaches who used to come in. This one particular coach always brought a recruit and their parents in. And after dealing with me... He put his thumbs up like, we got this one. I got rewarded with a nice pair of tennis sneakers. Another coach just came in because he said, oh, this is a good luck charm. When they went to away games, they had like 20 games a year, away game. He'd always bring me in a shoe shirt. You know, I didn't do it for the shirt. I did it because it was just fun.
Sure.
But my wife wished I'd get rid of all my T-shirts. I have too many now. But anyway, but that's another story.
I understand that sentiment. I'm in a similar position.
And, you know, Char Moret Curtis, she used to bring, she was, that's an early season. And she used to bring her team in. And they used to have these little cards with a schedule on. You know, they used to drop on the little cards. And it was fun. They used to run through the house. And people would say, who was that? And I told them who it was. And then handed out the cards. But she actually, before I retired, she made me an honorary coach. So I went out to it. And they won the game that I went out there. So.
Well, they had to.
Oh, that's right.
You can't lose the Mike the Mailman honor game.
But different coaches were, you know. It was this one. As a matter of fact, one of the wrestlers, I can remember when Bo Nichols came in the first time. I mean, you can recognize these guys because of their ear, you know.
And I said, it is a good one.
You know, it's true. They always have helmets on, but you know, the headgear on, but anyway.
Yeah.
But he came in, and he was. I knew he was from Texas, and he was mailing some things back to us. I said, how's Danny doing? He said, who? I said, Danny Monthly. He said, do you know Danny Monthly? He didn't know that I knew that Danny's my neighbor. And after that, the kids come in and just, could they relate to me, you know? As a matter of fact, remember Marat wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
I can remember one slow, he wrestled like lightweight. He was a lighter weight.
Yeah.
He came in the post office one day. So was he 30?
Yep, 34 at that time. I think
he came in the post office one day, and it wasn't, for once it wasn't busy. So I went out around the counter, and I tied up with him. I said, Marat, I said, can you tell when you tie up with somebody that guy's stronger than you are? You know what he said to me? No one's stronger than I am. That's all. That's the mindset you have to have.
Yeah. he was a pretty strong,
oh, yeah.
strong dude.
Athletes are just kids. I mean, I wish more people would realize that. Don't boo anybody. Just have fun. Enjoy the game. It's only a game. Enjoy it. You know, that's what I thought about my post office. It's fun. Just have a good time. Get the mail. And most of the mail I sent got there. Most of it, I think. Actually, one guy came in. One day and said, Mike the mailman, I'm disappointed. I said, why? He said, you told me this letter would get there on Tuesday. It got there Monday. I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. What can you do? You can't ever buy 1,000.
Oops.
Okay.
Oops,
yeah. Hold on. Now, for 22 hours a day, Mike, we're a sports station. Oh. It's these 2 hours in the morning where Knucklehead and I do all sorts of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You want to explain... You're an expert this fall, all the craziness, football, and so on. You want to explain what's going on this fall?
I wish I knew what was going on. I really don't know what's going on.
You and everybody else.
Oh, gee. I think it's a kiss of death when you get highly rated in the preseason. I've always felt that way, and it's like it seemed like it is. It's like, gee.
Yeah, it is just such a... It really is a head-scratcher.
I mean, have you... Any prior season... Even remotely like this?
No. I always like watching Joe's teams because he always knew the defense was going to rise and shine. I mean, he just knew that. I mean,
yeah.
Second half it was all theirs, and I just haven't found that in the last several years.
No, yeah, 99 was. I mean, had similar expectations, yeah. They waited till the very end for the swoon.
Yeah,
this thing kind of got away much earlier than that season. That's the only year I can think of. I mean, 79 had very high expectations as well, but that thing kind of went off the rails with Millen and Vitorno before the season even came around. You could kind of sense maybe things weren't going to be quite right that year.
And you know, college sports, especially college football, is not the college football that we once knew.
For sure.
It's like with the NIL and all this other stuff and portals and I can remember talking to Brandon Noble said I don't know how he could ever leave my guys I've been with them 3, 4, 5 years I could never leave those guys.
The mindset is it's different.
Now,
if you were a young man, Mike, right now, would you get a job in the Postal Service?
If my baseball career was over, I probably would. I love playing third base. I had fun. I had a good time. Yeah.
You did things, I think it would be fair to say, a little differently than the norm. Did that ever get you in hot water with the Postal Service?
Oh yeah. I was on the edge. A couple times I'd come home and say, Katie, I'm not sure if I'm going to have my job there. But there was one time. Well, in the book I talk about, there were two times that I was really surprised at the post office. The first time, the postmaster Paul Mackus at the time. These guys have never postmasters rarely come up to the post office, but the guy I was working with had a big, he liked coffee. He had a big can of Folgers coffee, a 3 pound or whatever it is. And so we put it up on the wall and we made it into a basketball hoop. We got some little rubber balls and people would come in during working. I mean, we still, so one day this, one Friday, Paul, my postmaster come up. I said, uh-oh. They never come up unless it's bad news. We come up, he opened the box. He actually had a basketball net to put up because he had heard about this. So he brought it. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like,
that is phenomenal.
To this day, on the last day of work, a woman calls it out. Mike Kerr, congratulations on your 48 years. I'm the Postmaster General. I said, oh, that's funny. I said, I had two friends named John and Fred. I said, tell John and Fred. I said, that's a great idea. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. I am the Postmaster General. I said, really? She said, well, she said, my sister went to school here like 20 years ago. I said, well, she's a smart gal. I said, thank you for all the congratulations. She said, okay. Best of luck. And I was like, wow. How would she know that I was? I don't know how she knew that.
This is the United States Postmaster General.
Yeah, I was really stunned.
That is wild.
Yeah, I thought for sure it was my two crazy. She was like, whatever.
All right, who is this really?
Yeah. So that was fun.
Well, let's repeat. Now, you've got book signings this weekend, student bookstore, dates and times again.
Friday will be 3 to 5 on Friday afternoon. Saturday will be 4 to 6 after the win. And then on Sunday morning, 11 to 1. And Mary-Kate will be there. And she's excited. I'm excited. It's fun. I mean,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yep. Go out and get your copy. Pushing the Envelope. Mike Kerr, Mike the Mailman. And best of luck with the sales. I know you're going to have fun with it. And again, give the address again where they can order the book.
It's MikeTheMailmanBook.com.
MikeTheMailmanBook.com. And you can get your copy. It is Mike's memoirs of a pretty remarkable life at Penn State.
I've had a good life there. It was great.
Mike, thank you for the time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the book. This is a really, really neat thing.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
You're welcome. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll have, not much. We'll only have a few minutes here to wrap things up. But that doesn't mean you go someplace. Oh, no. We'll send Mike after you. Don't do that. All right, let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Let's talk. A few minutes remaining here on a Wednesday. If you want to chime in, 814-954-7266, 814-954-7266. Now that we have the negativity that always follows Mike the Mailman everywhere he goes, we can try to spread some joy here for a change.
Okay,
on the big show.
Flip that on its head.
Huh?
All right, it's the exact opposite.
He's always
opposite.
So dour, so
I haven't
pessimistic
seen,
about it.
I can't remember the last time I've seen Mike, so it was great to see him.
Feels like I just saw him yesterday, to be honest. Well, wait a second. I did just see
Goon
him
and Ironhead show, Smarty Pants. I mean, 48 years as a postman. I mean, Mike's an anomaly. He is. I mean, we've talked about it, but young people today, for some reason, I don't know why, can't stick with a job. They get a job, they do it for a few months or a year or two, then they move on to another job, then they move on to another job. I mean, having essentially the same job for 48 years is incredible. Nobody does that anymore. And so, yeah, when you get Mike's memoir book, this weekend, he shared student bookstore all those hours. I mean, that's 48 years essentially doing the same job. How many of us can make that claim? That's a pretty darn short list.
Yep.
In this day and age. And so Mike is an absolute treasure. Cookies notwithstanding.
All right.
He's an absolute treasure. So if you get an opportunity, and especially maybe, not, you don't have to just be a Penn State alum to get his book, but if you are, that book should have some extra meaning for you. All right. If you saw Mike in his post office, or if you didn't over all those years, check out that book.
Yeah.
Go see Mike. Mike's one of the friendliest guys you'll ever meet.
Be a fun read.
Friday, sure. Saturday, and Sunday.
Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Boy, is he interesting. That was a great interview. He sounded pretty amazing.
He is.
Kind of guy. Great guy.
He really is.
That's the kind of guy you want to deal with, you know, if you have an issue or just in general, not some cranky person. But you're really amazed that kids aren't keeping jobs. I mean, listen, I'm going to beat the same drum. It's the school system. Look at the communist elected. I won't even mention his name because I don't acknowledge pigs that are socialists or communists. So, but I mean, why? 25 to 40 year olds, there's no hope for them. They're done. It's like people over 70, the hippie generation. I mean, come on. Listen, here's what it comes down to. Are you ready?
You got maybe a minute. Go ahead.
Abolish the public schools. When are we going to do this? How long is it? Hey, how long is it? We don't have to do that. You know why? By the millions, parents are pulling their kids out of these brainwashing institutions that are destroying our children. You know, I watch YouTube videos of people going to school board meetings, and when they have to argue that little boy should not be going into my girl's bathroom, we're done. We lost it. We lost it with that, and we have to argue that a big, strong male that dresses like a woman should play in female sports. We lost it. Because now we're not arguing the important things. We're dragged down by the mundane. Wouldn't you agree with that, Scott? Because I know Jeff does.
Yeah.
Partially. Should we get rid of public schools? No. All right? No. They've been a backbone of America for 200-something whatever years. All right? Are some, not all, are some schools doing things that are like, what the heck are you doing? Yeah. But not nearly all of them. All right? Our music's playing. We got to go. All right? So thanks for your call.
Appreciate the phone call.
What was that about the negativity?
What?
It's like, surprise. Tomorrow, we have an interesting guest. Actually, a repeat guest. If you got airline flights coming up, and what's going on with airlines right now, the Affordable Skies guest is going to join us again tomorrow. So make sure you join us Thursday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7. Sports!